Hello, Jason, can you hear us?
I can, yeah.
Oh, hello. Good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You?
Oh, we're pretty good.
Good. Have you got some sunshine?
Oh, yes, we have. Have you got sunshine as well where you are?
Certainly have.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Right, okay. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on the birth of your new son. I know I was speaking to your agent and he was saying that. Just a quick question on the sideline. Is he going to replace the Tom Clarkson, do you think? Or is he going to go one step further and be the next Mr. Byrne, do we reckon?
Oh, he's definitely head teacher material.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's good. That's brilliant. So, what's the story behind you playing Tom Clarkson? How and when did that all begin for you?
Well, just like with any other audition, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was you get a call. There was I know there were three companies. I think that were pitching for a school drama.
Yeah.
You know, the BBC specifically wanted a drama that was set in a school.
Uh-huh.
And up crops Waterloo Road, and just, you know, like any other meeting, really, they give you a brief outline of what they want the production to be. Then they'll send you a few pages to to learn and go to the meeting, have a chat with them, let them know what you've been up to, what you've done, and then read a few scenes, and then I think we had a recall situation and got the job, which
excellent.
Is brilliant.
Well
know.
Done, well done.
So back in 1857 or whatever it was. Yeah.
Well, it seems to be going on forever. I mean, it really does. I know that you probably get asked this a lot. How much of the given subject, I know you're teaching English and you're the deputy head within the TV reality drama, how much of that subject do you actually know?
Oh, nothing.
Really?
Very, very little. I mean, I wasn't particularly erudite at school, to be honest. So, I mean, it used to drive my nan crazy, things like that. She used to, you know, go on about, do you know that Kevin Webster, he doesn't know one end of a car from the other. She was most disappointed. I tended to fall back on my dramatic skills at school. Mm-hmm. So, not so great. I mean, I'm glad I've got somebody writing the script and I'll just say the words.
I was going to say, because it looks as though when I'm watching it, it looks as though you know exactly what you're talking about when I'm watching it.
You know what? Most of the time, I'll do a little bit of research so that I seem more intelligent than I actually am.
Well, it looks
I'm just giving my secret away now.
Oh, exactly. The secret to most actors. Are you involved with the production team in the behind the scenes of Waterloo Road in developing your character, Tom, in any way, or are you just given the script and that's it?
Not really. I mean, we are pretty much. We may discuss storylines every so often, and you know they'll take ideas on board, and occasionally, you know, once we're on the floor, occasionally things might not work as well as they look like they would on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of work it out amongst yourselves what you think would sort of keep it within the realms of reality, or, you know, how to make it perhaps a little bit more interesting.
Uh-huh.
So it's a collaboration in that sense, but maybe with storylines on the whole, no, that's a whole other department, you know, that sort of sit down and brainstorm and
absolutely,
you know, come up with all the thousand storylines per episode.
Well, I was going to say, it must take a lot to come up with a decent, obviously all the storylines have been decent within this current series as well, and you've obviously as well moved from what was Rochdale, set outside Rochdale, because I know that the current series has moved up to Greenock in Glasgow.
Right.
How was that transition, going from what was your home, effectively, to somewhere completely different and overlooking the view of the Clyde and now not the M62?
Well, you know, the view of the Clyde is far prettier than the M62,
well,
I have to say. And it's, I mean, I enjoyed it. I have to say, Greenock seemed to get a bad press.
Yeah.
I mean, even as I was stopping at, you know, various service stations on the way up, and the Scottish folk being as friendly as they are, what are you up to? Oh, I'm moving up to Greenock to shoot this drama. Oh, bleak. and in fact, the first two people I met used the very same word, and I thought, oh my word.
What have I let myself in for?
And it turned, I mean, I think it's absolutely fantastic, really. I should get a job with the Scottish Tourist Board, I think, because I'm such a fan. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
The local people were fantastic, uh-huh. really well looked after. They've got a great sports facility down there, the mm-hmm. waterfront. It's all... Mm-hmm. And it's just picture postcards, down in Battery Park and Gurrock and all those mm-hmm. areas around there. I mean, of course, like anywhere else, it's got its less attractive areas, shall
we
say.
Oh, yes, of course.
But it was fantastic. And in many ways, having done it for... Well, I've done it for 6 years in Rochdale. Mm-hmm. I embraced the change, really, and just thought of it as an adventure. Mm-hmm. And indeed, you know, being in Scotland on the whole was stunning.
It is. It's a stunning city. It really is. You should try moving to Edinburgh. See how folks like that. Edinburgh folk are more friendly.
Because I love Edinburgh. I hadn't had a chance to go to Edinburgh since I went to. I was part of the festival in like 1991.
Uh-huh.
But took a trip over with Philip Martin Brown, who plays
Grantley.
Grantley.
Oh, he's one of my favourite characters out of the whole series.
He's awesome. He's my best mucker on it, really. And it is stunning. It is stunning. It's a very very different beast to Glasgow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's. On the whole, I was staying in Lochwinnoch. That was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah,
we got up to Fort William.
Oh, Fort William's a favourite place of mine as well.
Yeah,
superb.
Absolutely.
Picture postcard. Well, next time you're up, give us a shout and we'll see what we can do. You can come up and visit us during the festival and things like that. We'll maybe get you to do a few things. In terms of the whole series of Waterloo Road, because I know it's gone on for countless numbers of episodes, what's been your favourite so far?
The most moving episode for me was Sambuca's death.
Yes, I watched that one. I was in tears at that one.
I just thought it was beautiful, and we went up to Blackpool, which is a strange kind of history for me, from childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really blessed with a good day, and I just thought it was a really well put together episode.
Yeah.
That just because it took it out of the school as well, and it was such a sad subject matter, and
it was
such a well loved character that was passed on. Mm. I just thought as a whole, as a piece of drama, it just had everything really.
Yeah.
You know, you were laughing 1 minute and in floods of tears the next. I thought that was a really memorable ep.
So you mean to say that you would favour that over dressing up as a chili pepper then?
Now. beautifully illustrates what Waterloo Road does from 1 week to the next, because the week before, my ex-wife had committed suicide, and the following week, I'm dressed as a giant vegetable for Vegetable Awareness Week, and I remember it very clearly because I really didn't want to do it.
No.
And I was taking myself very seriously. I'm a serious actor, you know, and here I was with next to Jill Halfpenny, who's dressed as a giant carrot, and the frustration that you see as that Tom Clarkson displays is actually the frustration that Jason Doane was displaying in feeling an absolute fool dressed as a giant vegetable. There's that, and there's which is on a par with my favourite line of all time, which is, your mother stole my sperm, which I had to say with a straight face, so there you go. So there's some of the highlights for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. How much of the show, or in particular in Tom, how much of that is scripted, and how much of it is in your own input, effectively, into the show?
Well, I think you've got to make every character your own, you know. It is scripted. As I said earlier, it's occasionally you might paraphrase to make if things aren't quite sounding as natural as they should, dialogue wise.
Mm-hmm.
That you bring your own sort of input to it. But I guess to get very actorish on you, you know, it's a bit like it's a bit of Stanislavski. It's a kind of what if I was in this situation. So you are, I guess, always building on elements of your own personality as well. I mean, it's impossible not to bring something of yourself to it. you know.
We've got a couple of questions for you, Jason. There's one from our station manager whose wife and family are a very big fan, as am I, of Waterloo Road. One of the questions is, I know that you've, have you currently left, have you actually left physically, or are you still part of it?
Well, I'm still, my final episode is to be aired on July the 4th.
July the 4th, right. Okay.
So at the end of this current series, and physically I stopped shooting at the end of January.
Right, okay. Well, one of the questions that my manager would like to ask is, why was it the reason was you left? Was it because it was a tough part that you were playing within the storyline of you obviously giving your kidney to Philip Martin Brown, who plays Grantley? Was that one of the reasons you left, because you were playing, it was such a tough storyline, or what was the reason behind that?
No, to be totally honest with you, I mean, I've just had a, as you mentioned, another little boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, for personal reasons, really, yeah. I thought it was very selfish to leave the family. I mean, the family came up with me this mm-hmm. time, and we had a, you know, wonderful adventure. But with another little one on the way, and my wife heavily pregnant, yeah. they wanted to start filming again 8 weeks later for 6 months. So it was either a case of I bring the whole family up again, and we're not close, near family and friends and a support network.
Mm-hmm.
Or, because of the grueling schedule, I get home back to Manchester at 10 o'clock on a Friday night and have to leave again on Sunday afternoon. And I just thought, you know, this is time that you can never get back.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So and that kind of worked in beautifully with wanting to move on professionally as
yeah.
well,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there a long time, and I think I've kind of done everything that you can do with Tom,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a mixture. I mean, ultimately, I mean, it's always family first. So
oh, absolutely,
that was the main reason. But mm-hmm. as I say, the timing was such that it's the right time to move on professionally as
yeah.
well.
In terms of, there was another question from our very own chatty woman the show before us. They were wanting to know: are there writers who write specific storylines, and are the cast involved in any way of that?
No, do you know, I mean, it's always sort kind of amazed me. I mean, we rarely get to meet the writers. Occasionally we will. I always thought it would make more sense
mm-hmm.
if they were on site a little bit more. I mean,
yeah.
I think since we moved to Scotland, the writers worked out of school in Greenock, or
mm-hmm.
certainly some of them are script editors. But generally, I guess, God, writing's that isolated thing where, you know, they've got all their sort of red tape and hierarchy to go through before it gets anywhere near the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want a bunch of actors meddling? Oh, I wouldn't say that. You know, I mean, ultimately, I think they do their job and we do ours.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, I mean, there's so much input externally from various different people and departments that it would just go on and on and
mm-hmm.
on and on forever. Ultimately, someone has to make a decision and then say, "Oi, say this.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're paid to do."
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Now, I notice as well that you're now starring in a Shakespeare production company of Macbeth. How's that? Is there any comparisons between doing that and Waterloo Road? Because I know that Shakespeare's
oh,
very...
Oh, no, this was... I did that a few years ago, actually. That was at the Royal Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I did in between series.
Wow.
So, no, that's... That's been and gone.
Really? I would have thought it would have been... I thought you were currently... Okay, right, that answers that question. Well, how was that then? Because if you're doing it between series, there must be, in your brain, you're thinking, all right, am I Tom Clarkson or am I...
No, listen, I don't know. I mean, well, I never have any trouble. I never have any trouble switching between the two. It's just a different beast, and it's lovely to work in work back in the theatre.
Mm-hmm.
But you completely immerse yourself in a totally different environment and
mm-hmm.
a different character, and you're telling a different story.
Absolutely.
It's, I don't take Mr. Clarkson home with me.
Oh.
You know, there's a perfectly good on and off switch with him. It's not a problem.
Mean you don't mark any students' essays and say, how come they've done so rubbish on that?
I mean, he's such a good egg. I mean, you know, the moral compass of Waterloo Road, he hasn't got anything in his life anymore except for those pupils, which is totally admirable. Mm-hmm. No, I'll leave him to it and get on with, you know, other things. I mean, I have just done a development workshop at the same theatre that I did Macbeth at, the Royal Exchange, and this was for a dramatisation of the Iliad, which is sort of the oldest known piece of literature on, you know, on record, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, in some respects, you could say that's going from one extreme to the other.
It would
but
be.
I'd love that. That's part of being an actor, and that's why I love it—the variety. You know.
Are you seen as obviously in and around Manchester? Are you seen as somebody? Oh, look, is somebody famous in a sentence in any way, shape, or form? Do you get?
I mean, you know, people say hello, and unfortunately, it's all pretty nice. You know, when I was on TV when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I got the impression people, you know, that sometimes people kind of look at you in a negative way, thinking you think you're something special.
Yeah.
You know, they project this kind of negativity on you, which is really unfair and doesn't exist. Not in my case, anyway.
No.
But no, it's very nice. People seem, you know, it does have it is very popular and it's got a good following. And so, you know, generally people say very nice things and mm-hmm. have a photograph and it's all very nice.
Last question then. What makes Waterloo Road so intense in the drama aspect of it? Because I know when I watch it, particularly when you mentioned about Sambuca's death, I thought that was just such a powerful way, in a sense. What makes it so intense and exciting to watch?
What makes it so intense and exciting to watch? I think, although it's this formulaic drama, mm-hmm. in many respects, it's very unpredictable. I mean, because it covers so much ground, I think there are so many different little stories within each episode.
Yeah.
And they're really relevant and poignant issues alongside the bizarre, you know. You know, you get part of an episode might be a build a bench competition, which just seems so pedestrian and dull. But within it, you know, I mean, juxtaposed with that, you've got something that's really poignant and relevant, mm-hmm. and also its appeal, I think, is that it's across the generations.
Yeah,
it's a rare thing now, in that it's something that the whole family can sit down and watch together.
Yeah, I know.
And everyone kind of can relate to it in a sense that we've either at school, been at school, so from a nostalgia point mm-hmm. of view as well, yeah. you know, so it's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know long that, may it continue. I wish them all the very best.
Absolutely. I know that certainly when I was at school and I watched that Waterloo Road and I think, see the stuff they say, half the stuff they say, I wouldn't have even got away with that when I was at school. It's unbelievable to think that.
No.
Well...
No. You can't lay a finger on them now.
No, exactly, exactly. Health and safety gone mad. It really is.
You can't lay a bloody finger on them. What they need is a good hiding.
What you need is you need to set Philip Martin Brown on them. That's what you need, and you'll
that's
be sorted.
Right,
you'll be
right.
sorted. It's been perfect. Wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to us, and we wish you all the best in whatever you're doing, and
thank
good luck to
much.
Waterloo Road. It's been brilliant to talk to you. Okay.
And to you.
Thank you very much. Cheers
bye,
now.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
Jason.